Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. As most Christians know, if they know anything about the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians at all, most Christians know that the Corinthian church was plagued by a number of problems, and one of the most prominent ones was their divisiveness, their cliquishness, their being divided in the body of Christ into groups that were rivaling one another. They were carrying out campaigns, one against the other. And these divisions had to do primarily with their favorite preachers. I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Cephas. And Paul starts dealing with that immediately in chapter 1. But he continues dealing with that in chapter 2. And he indicates that one of the problems is that the church at Corinth did not value the ministry of the Apostle Paul as highly as they should because of their immaturity, because of their carnal standards of evaluation that were parallel to the way that the world views things rather than the way Christians ought to view things. And so many of them were not impressed with the ministry of the Apostle Paul because he didn't have apparently a strong, impressive speaking style. And so Paul tells us that nevertheless, he preach the gospel, and he deliberately did not try to cultivate the kind of speaking style that was in vogue in his day, but he didn't cater to cultural accommodations, and that all of this was according to the design of God, because according to God's wisdom, God chose to save people through the message preached rather than through the impressiveness of the way in which it was preached. It's not the methodology that God honors, it is the message that God honors. That's God's wisdom. And though the message of the gospel may seem to be foolish to the world, it will seem to be exceedingly wise to those in whose hearts God's Spirit works. And so Paul defends his model of ministry, his philosophy of ministry, the way he went about conducting his ministry, and tells us that it was all according to the wise design of God, and that people shouldn't cater to, be drawn to preachers on the basis of their personality, on the basis of their speaking style, but rather on the basis of their fidelity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a lesson that needs to be relearned by every generation of Christians. But there's more, and so we'll continue on this Thursday, May 13, thanking you for joining us and thanking you for remembering that we are in need of your financial support. Well, Paul is going to tell us in the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what is the nature, the source, and the communication of true wisdom? Having raised the issue of wisdom, that it is God's wisdom to conduct the work of the gospel in this unimpressive way, he now goes on to tell us the nature of true wisdom. Because these divisions which plagued the Corinthian church were caused by looking to human wisdom instead of divine wisdom. They don't truly understand the difference. And so Paul needs to explain that to them. They were trying, as members of the Corinthian church, to impress the world with their worldly reasoning and their worldly success, as if the success of the gospel depends upon humanly impressive people, humanly impressive churches, humanly impressive Christian leaders, that the success of the gospel depends upon that. That's what they thought, but Paul wants to dislodge them of that erroneous opinion. That's what many people think in our day, and they need to be dislodged from the same erroneous understanding. And Paul makes it clear in the first several verses that we've already covered that he did not cater to human wisdom in his approach to ministry. He refused to accommodate himself to the cultural norms and expectations of his day. He simply and emphatically declared the gospel of Jesus Christ in plain, unadorned speech and left the results to God. He did not want Christian faith to rest upon humanly impressive men. He didn't try to make himself impressive. He wanted people's faith to rest on the power of God and upon the message of the gospel alone. And with that background, he now explains the difference between human wisdom and divine. And I'm going to read, starting at verse 1, the first five verses that we have covered, and then to verse 6, where we are going today. Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." However, and now we get into his explanation of true wisdom. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Let's take a look at these verses before we go on. What Paul is telling us here is the nature of true wisdom, and the first thing he says about it is that true wisdom is eternal. Now, we'll show you that in the text in a moment, but stop and think about that for a moment. True wisdom is eternal. What is often looked to as the wisdom of our age is constantly changing, and we know that. Here comes the latest fad, the latest gimmick, the latest trend, the latest wisdom. We all, I think, get a little bit amused, if not angry, at the appeals to scientific knowledge in our day, which, like human wisdom, is constantly changing. Constantly changing. We've seen that with COVID. First, the experts, the experts, medical experts, scientific experts, based upon scientific knowledge, tell us this dogmatically. This is what science teaches us. And then in the course of sometimes just a few days, and many times the course of a few weeks, they tell us basically the opposite. And what becomes apparent is that when it comes to COVID, there are so many things that were not known from the beginning and still are not well known, even though we've now have more than a year behind us. It's a new virus. It's a new problem. It's a new plague, a new pandemic, a new threat that we haven't had before. And so, of course, on the one hand, sensible people are not going to expect anybody no matter how expert they are, isn't going to expect anybody to understand everything completely and irrevocably from the beginning, because it takes time to study these things. But on the other hand, will you please stop acting like you have divine wisdom when all you have is the best present knowledge that is admittedly incomplete? You know it's incomplete. A lot of it is just a guess. Quit talking like it is such great wisdom. But you see, that's the way human wisdom is. It's constantly changing. I suppose that was most greatly impressed upon me years ago when I was being treated for a very serious cancer. This goes back to the 1980s. And though my doctor was not aware of it, I was aware of it, my wife was aware of it, we would go visit my doctor, Duke Hospital, who was an outstanding doctor, and I thank the Lord for him. And I believe with all my heart that God directed me to him because of his knowledge, his expertise. He was an outstanding doctor, a research scientist, a knowledgeable cancer expert. God used him to bring about the arresting, the elimination of the cancer from my body, and here I am still in relatively good health these many, many years later. But here's what I wanted to say. We would go visit him, and he would tell us one thing. We would come back for the next visit, sometimes a month later, sometimes it depended on what was going on. I was under his care for over 5 years, and of course, the further we got away from the surgery and the chemotherapy, the further spaced out were the visits. But in the beginning, we would go pretty often, probably every month or so, and we would go in on one visit, and he would tell us something very factually, very matter of fact. This is the way it is. This is what science tells us. This is what my research tells me. This is what I know. We would come back a month later. He would tell us something that was the exact opposite. He didn't even know that he had told us the opposite the month before. It didn't occur to him for some reason. He had gotten a little more information, a little more understanding, and he didn't bother to explain to us any change in his thinking. He just now makes a declaration that's the exact opposite. And what's my point? That's the nature of human wisdom. That's the best human wisdom will ever be. Don't tell me that you're basing your decisions, Mr. Politician, on the science, because the science is always changing. And furthermore, don't tell me that you're basing your decisions upon science and your opponent is not. When it becomes clear, you base the decisions you want to make anyway on the science that seems to support your decision at the moment, but the next decision you made, which is going to be the opposite of what the same scientific experts are telling you, you will completely ignore science, but that's another story for another day. But that's the nature of human wisdom. It is constantly changing because man is fallible. Man is not God. But we're talking about the nature of true wisdom, and the first thing the apostle tells us about it in verses 6 and 7 is that true wisdom is eternal. And we will have to come back and look at that in verses 6 and 7 on the broadcast tomorrow, since time has caught us short. And so thank you for joining us today. Please join us again tomorrow at the same time. Until then, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.